Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnewell.
With Julie Hayden.
We're back.
This is the Chuck and Julie show. And our thanks, let me start off first to the folks at BBS Radio. We're going to be doing this every Wednesday from 3 to 4 Denver time. And we hope you can join us. If you miss it, you can always go to the podcast at bbsradio.com/Chuck and Julie. A lot of stuff to talk about, but this is a live call-in show. So I want to let you know you can call in 888-627-6008. Once again, 888-627-6008. I want to thank everybody for listening.
In case you haven't heard, which I'm sure you have, Salem threw us off the air because I made a joke about impeachment. I said, this is so boring. I wish that something would be interrupted, like a nice school shooting that nobody gets hurt. That went around the world. My sister in London called me about it. And so I regret the remark, of course, because you don't intend to hurt anybody's feelings and jokes. You know, you intended just to be a quip at the time. I wish I'd said a hurricane or something else, but I didn't. And so, you know, it was pretty quick because Salem wanted to get Sebastian Gorka on anyway, as opposed to live and local. And so that's what they got. Don't mind Sebastian Gorka at all. And it's, you know, we were battling against that well over a year ago. We had to adjust lots of things in order to make sure we stayed on and all that.
But here we are.
But here we are, and now we're ready to go. We did. I want to say it's incredible how much support we got from listeners and friends and everybody else. I mean, just extraordinary. I want to thank each and every one of you. Every one of your emails and letters and support were just tremendous. And, of course, we see the other ones. Lots of death threats. Lots of death threats. Julie got some particularly ugly sex-based threats. I have to admit, mine weren't quite as imaginative. And, you know, at the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle, after the killing of all the people at Charlie Hebdo, we went out and published all of the editorial, the cartoons that were most objected to. And then we got some real death threats. They weren't just going to blow your head off or beat up your child or anything. They were going to boil in water and else. But still, we got lots of them, and Jason Salzman is so proud because he was claiming it. He was his greatest triumph to get us off the air. And I think that's a little bit true because I think that's what we all are. I mean, they want to silence all of us. They want none of us to be able to speak. They want you to have nothing that you can refer to, especially here in Colorado. I mean, 710 Ken U.S. was the place I think most conservative people went to. It was a station which really covered local politics, covered everything else, and they wanted to shut it down more than anything else, and they partially have, but we're here.
Yeah, that's right.
And so we'll go back and do the best to entertain you and educate you and
you
enjoy.
Know, exactly. So they, you know, so if you're just joining us, you may not know this, but if you've been a listener, it's going to be the same show that we always had. You know, we used to joke.
Only better.
Only better. We used to joke that we wanted people to feel like we were just all sort of like an extended radio now podcast family sitting around the kitchen table. Well, just to let you know, that's exactly what we're doing. This is our kitchen back here. Joyce with the roll them out shelves. Those are back there. Maybe someday we'll show them there. But we're here at the kitchen, and we want to continue that same thing. And I wanted to say, because we've been thinking a lot about this, obviously, I want to talk about, and I want the show to be a safe place for everybody. But, you know, I talk about passion with compassion. I want people to be able to call us up, to argue, to vehemently argue, to passionately argue, but to have compassion. And by that, I simply mean an awareness of our common human experience. So we may disagree vehemently about Trump, about impeachment, about, you know, red light cameras, you name it. But I think that it is important, particularly in this time, to remember that we all share some common human experiences. We've all looked in the mirror in the morning and said, where did that wrinkle come from? You know, we've all sat frustrated in rush hour traffic. We've all loved somebody and we've all lost somebody. I just think there are so many more things that connect us than divide us. And it's important to remember that because Tucker Carlson had a December 29th thing on Breitbart. And he said here, he fears that we are moving toward a dark age where you can only have approved thoughts. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think there are people and organizations out there who want to divide us so they can conquer us. They want to make sure that if you go outside of their increasingly rigid rules, they're going to silence you, they're going to shame you, they're going to hurt you, and they're going to try to destroy you, not only to take you away, but to also make it clear to anybody else, hey, you better not speak your mind or express your thoughts freely either, because then we'll do that to you. So we want this show to continue to be what it was, just a place where people can call. We can disagree. We can maybe, as I said, even vehemently disagree. But I think we need to remember that, again, there's just more that connects us than divides us.
And for my side of it, you know, I want a rigorous intellectual debate. Julie is the compassion side. I want a debate about the issues. I mean, when we had on 710 Canyons, we didn't just have Republicans or conservatives. We had Ted Trimpa.
Sort of Soros.
We had dozens of people.
Liberal Chris.
Lots of people who called in. And we greeted them with respect and but vigorously argued with them. Now, if you called in, I only had one rule. I mean, if you're going to be belligerent, I don't care. You want to be dumb, I don't care. But dumb and belligerent was the only call that I'd get.
Then we hang up on you.
You can be stupid, you can be belligerent, but try not to combine them together and you'll get a respectful.
And again, let me give you that number because we really would love to have your call in. 888-627-6008. A lot of stuff to talk about. Holy cow.
Whoa.
We got Trump and Iran. Chuck wants to talk about Ricky Gervais and the Golden Globe Awards.
If you saw that monologue, that was the greatest thing in the world, except if you're a lefty, then you hate it.
And then I was down at the state capitol today. Today, coincidentally, is not just the launch of the Julie and Chuck show, Chuck and Julie show, or as Aaron would say, Julie and Chuck, but it's also the opening day at the state legislature. So I was down at the Freedom versus Force rally today. Really good-sized crowd there. That was kind of fun. We'll talk about that. And then the impeachment. I mean, we could get into this because we maybe need your help to settle this. Chuck and I had an impeachment bet, which it looked like Chuck had won, but I'm not so sure that he did. But they haven't started it. So do you want to launch into Iran?
Sure. I mean, Trump came on, bathed in light, walking into a foyer. I didn't go to the Lincoln Room or any of the other kind of more known parts of the White House. And I thought he gave a great speech.
Yeah.
I thought he was what he wanted to be, which was not weak. He said you had it, you know, you got peace through economic and military strength. And I think that's absolutely right. He certainly indicated that this wasn't going to be the end of everything, that he can pose new sanctions. I listened to the critiques afterward of MSNBC and CNN, and they were, by and large, hard to really get to him, which I love to do.
Yeah. What did you criticize? I mean, you criticize, we wanted to bomb the heck out of him? No. I mean, or we wanted to get bombed ourselves? I mean, how do you criticize?
The criticism, and it's always the same on the left. I mean, they get the word bombshell. They all do it. So once they get a criticism, they didn't map out a whole plan to settle the Middle East. And by the way, there is no plan to just settle the Middle East. I mean, the fight between the Shias and the Sunnis has been going since Muhammad died in 632. So a 10-minute speech is probably not going to solve that problem in all the Middle East. In fact, human beings are going to conflict. They're always going to conflict. It's just so inherent in our nature, and I think some of that realism is welcome. And the Bush said, "Well, we'll just give them a nice democracy because it worked out." We'll give them democracy in the Gaza Strip. How did that work? Well, not so well because not the whole world is really set up for democracy. You can't really have people really so divided that one gets one more vote and they can crush the others. I mean, even in Belgium, which has been a democracy for over 100 years. You know, it's divided up between the Walloons and the Flemish, and they're probably going to separate. So, you know, democracy does not work everywhere, and it's only, a somewhat ridiculous individual who happens to be president at the time, George W. Bush, who thought it could. We just go around the world imposing democracy and everything will come out great. Well, the world's a complicated place. Humans are complicated. I'd much rather have the realistic one that Donald Trump laid out today. And the idea that he could, in a 10-minute speech, solve all the Middle East problems is sort of ridiculous. But, of course, that's what you expect from MSNBC.
No, and if folks are listening, not just listening, you can also see us here. So you're going to see what I look like with my glasses on. I have to put them on to read the thing. We've got calls in. Let's go to Charlene from Denver first. Hey, Charlene, good afternoon. Thank you for calling. We've missed you.
Chuck and Julie, oh, I'm just thrilled you're back on, and you were really easy to find. I just want to tell people when you,
bear with us here.
When you hit the button.
It's a maiden show.
It's a maiden show. We're trying to see. So Don, who is producing for us back there at BBS Radio, if we could bring in Charlene.
Oh, yes. I'm so excited that you're back on the air. And you were really easy to find because I just hit the link. And then you have to wait till exactly the time, you know, to the minute. And then the stream button shows up, and then you hit the button. I got on like 10 minutes early, and I'm like, where are they? You've been on exactly, you know, that at the hour. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with other people if they haven't been able to hook into you yet. But I'm thrilled that you're back on, and I look forward to hearing your I've just been in withdrawals, really, because I've been lost in the afternoon. I mean, it's been 3 weeks. I'm like, all right, now what do I think about this? And I'm like, I got to check with Chuck and Julie first. You know,
well, that's all right. Well, what did you make of Trump's the whole Iran thing?
Oh, I'm kind of, you know, in the penny into the pound, but I'm just not real happy with his decision to do that. I feel like the neocons have kind of got him in a vise, and he may have to ride it out until he can, you know, get into a second term. I just wasn't real happy about it, but I haven't given up on it. I do think the neocons have gotten too much control, and so I hope to see him get us out of this, you know.
Tucker Carlson pointed out that you know, it's neocons and neoliberals, that Schumer has been pushing for invasion of Iran for 10 years, and same with Pelosi.
Exactly.
It's, you know.
It's neoliberals and neocons. It's on both
sides. Yeah, exactly.
And, it's not like there's some... Go ahead.
What?
I was going to say, go ahead.
They were so upset when we pulled out of Syria, and now they're upset because we're not going to war. And I can't make it out, but I do think there's neocons and neoliberals, and they're both it's the MIC, and they want to keep the wars going, they want to keep the arms going, and they want to keep the oil flowing. So it's more money in their pocket, and we have to sacrifice our young men and women. And I hope that changes at some point. And I think Trump really wants that, but I think he's kind of boxed in right now. That's my opinion.
All right, that's great. Hey, listen, thank you for calling. We'll be talking to you every Wednesday, I hope, okay?
Yes, thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, goodbye to Charlene. And let us now go to our good friend, Barney.
Barney!
Who's calling from, you guys, I'm looking over here for Barney from Nebraska. Hey, Barney.
Hey, Julie. Hey, Chuck. How are you guys doing?
We're good. How are you doing? And, yes, we can.
I'm good. In the kitchen. I'm gonna punch you in the mouth when I meet you. I was gonna be the first caller, and she beat me to it. So you get it, young lady. When I meet you, I'm gonna ding you. But no, she's sweet, and I am glad to hear you guys. And I'm sure that it's gonna be a little tough for some people. It really isn't. Charlene's right. It was easy to find you guys. It's kind of different, but you know what? I think. If it turns into a habit, it's going to be great. And I was always listening to you guys on the internet anyway, so it kind of worked out. But just be strong. I'm really, you know, you get to know who your real friends are. You know, you don't realize.
I can tell you personal experience the last 2 weeks, that's true. It's very much true.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can. And you know what? I still can't get over. I talked to Julie there when you guys were, you know, on a secret vacation or whatever. And the stuff that we say in my family is off the charts. And we wouldn't be a family anymore if we were always butthurt about what, you know, we said. My brother, when he got out of rehab, the first family reunion after that, that poor guy, man, did he get some crap. And you know what? We still love each other at the end of the day, but, you know, we just say awful mean things, and I don't get how you can't say what you said, but you can say postal. It's kind of funny what's normal in our society and what's not, and I don't know. It's pathetic, and I did watch your interview with Caldera. I actually liked that. I don't know if that was after this little deal.
Before.
it was before, you know, yeah. Well,
that's what I was saying too, though. And that's what, I think that, you know, we did this before and I want to do this again. We are, like you said, it's like a giant extended family, right? We can argue and we can be vehement. But again, it goes back to, I really do believe we have a lot more that connects us than divides us. And we can't let these forces who are just looking out for themselves, they're not looking out for us or you, right?
Right.
They want to have an agenda, a worldwide agenda. And the best way they can implement that, particularly in this day and age where, you know, you can just Google things, use the Google, as George Anthonisopoulos would say, to find stuff is
right.
they got to just stomp out essentially free speech. And not just our free
right.
speech, but anybody's. And they don't care. And they want to try to destroy you. I mean, it's not just us.
And we should, you know, every once in a while I can feel sorry for myself, hopefully not for too long. But then I think back, I mean, Bob Grant was the number one radio show host in New York, and a huge success. And they fired him because he made a quip about Ron Brown and the plane crash. I mean, and of course...
Ron Brown, the agricultural secretary guy that died, or...
Yeah.
Is that,
and then even Megyn McKelley. She said, when I was a kid, you know, going out in blackface for Halloween was not considered to be racist. And they said, you know, they wanted to get rid of
the... Oh, yeah.
And so that's, if they want to get rid of you anyway, you know, they're...
Well, they're going to find a reason. Look at the sitcoms that you could never play today. Look at All in the Family. I mean, go ahead, Julie.
We watched E.T. over the Christmas break, right? And E.T. was made a long time ago, but it cracked me up. So the little boy is staying home. He's pretending he's sick. So he has to, so his mom, you know, has to, so he can stay home and watch E.T. And his mom, he's like eight, right? His mom says, okay. And she and the other kids get in the car and leave.
The whole family would be in prison.
She'd be
today.
In prison, right? And then she leaves the kindergarten
yeah,
alone.
Yeah.
It's like, that would, I was watching them, and it would never even happen today, you know?
Yeah. We've just really lost it. And I, you know, speaking though of what brings us together, when I started listening to talk radio, Dan, you remember, I know you guys know who Dani Newsom is, I think,
right.
don't
yeah.
you? She was a talk show host on The Dark Side, and she was a lawyer for the ALC, whatever, that liberal, you know, junk or whatever. But she was a flaming liberal, and I would get into it with her, and then I found out that she lost a daughter. And then it's like, wow, you got to change how you come at somebody. And I always have done that. I've always thought, you know, everybody's got a personal story, so you... It's okay to yell and scream and, you know, just don't make it personal. That's all. And I hope, I love it when you make fun of me, Chuck. If you didn't, I'd think there was something wrong with you. But as long as I can make fun of you, I hope you got my email about the butt ugly ass husband, Julie. I mean, I hope you showed Chuck. By the way, Chuck, you have officially been demoted. So my phone used to say Chuck and Julie. Now that I got Julie on the phone, it says Julie and Chuck. So you'll have
you're
to, you know, you
I can
got...
promise you're not the only one. So,
all right, hey,
all right, I love you guys. Can't wait. It's going to be great. Hang in there. You got it.
All right, love you both. Thanks, good to talk to you.
Thanks,
see you, bye.
All right, and now we've got, oh my gosh, Anil from Philadelphia. Anil, hey, good afternoon.
Anil.
Chuck and Julie, thanks so much. This is awesome. I'm glad you're back on.
Well, thank you.
Glad to talk to you.
That's right. This way we can talk to
you.
We need to hear
your voice. You got to keep speaking, and I think everything will turn around again. And the truth is very powerful, and you guys have it, and you say it locally. And I listen to you from the East Coast. I listen to you from Colorado. So thank God you guys are back on.
All right. Well, thanks.
Let me ask you this, though, because
you're up on all things local. I think that's been something you've always emphasized, which I agree with. Uh-huh. So I was down at the state capitol today. First day of the legislative session. I think 2020, you know, obviously with Trump and everything, it's going to be a big year nationally, but it's going to be, I think, huge here in Colorado. What do you think?
It's going to be big. It all depends on the turnout, though. I mean, March 7th is very important in Colorado for the caucus. I think the establishment killed the caucus, but we just got to get the grassroots to not give up and come back on Saturday morning, March 7th at 10 a.m. and take over, you know, county parties and roll. So, if we stay focused, I think it'll be good with the other ballot, the initiatives, you know, on the ballot there, you know, with the American voters, you know, all that.
Right.
I think it'll help. But if people lose focus, it'll be difficult. But I think we just stay focused. And Always watch out for the establishment. They're the tricky ones because they could care less. For them, it's power. So I think grassroots could turn it around, but we got to stay focused.
Yeah, I mean, I think 2020 is probably a lost cause in Colorado.
In Colorado,
not nationally. I think Trump is really kind of coming on, to tell you the truth, and I think his chances of winning are getting better and better. They're never going to be easy, but better mm-hmm. and better. But in Colorado, unless they acknowledge how to run campaigns, and you have mail ballots and you have ballot harvesting, and I've run elections in which we had ballot harvesting. I've run elections where everybody showed up on election day, and it's 1,000% difference. I mean, it's, you have to totally change your way you campaign. And all of a sudden, before, you try to go to the people who always voted because you count on them. Now you go to the people who never voted because you can influence them the most. And you come to their house and pick up their ballot and recommend who they should vote for. The Colorado has no ground game, none. I mean, they have some volunteers that go out and put hangers on and some other stuff. Unless and until you get enough money, and of course it takes a lot more money to run a mail ballot harvesting one, but unless you have recognition of that, you can't win elections. It's like saying, what could Republicans do in Alabama in 1910? Well, they had to get, you know, they excluded all the black voters who were then Republicans and made it ensured that they couldn't win. And Colorado is no different than Alabama in 1910. They've made it so Republicans cannot win state office, notwithstanding the fact that every Democrat I talk to says it's 50-50, but we've got a machine and you got nobody.
Yeah, and Chuck, to your point, I mean, just I think it was just a couple of days ago, and I've done this over the last couple of months. If you go to Colorado Tracer and put in the Colorado Republican Central Committee, the registrar, the director or executive director, whatever, the name is the former state party chairman. I mean, that's incompetence. This is 10 months after your election.
It's like, right, he's running for CD6. You're right. How hard? Even I could figure out how to change that. You know,
yeah,
and I
those are one of the first things that, those are one of the first things any county or state party does is change their official designation with the Secretary of State's office. And it's got the former chairman that end up with the biggest blowout in 70 years. Further, why I'm we got Dave Williams, member of the Patriot from El Paso County. He's got a primary from an establishment figure. It's like they don't stop. They don't care because to them it's power. But I think if grassroots stay focused, show up at the caucus on March 7th on a Saturday at 10 a.m. across all 64 counties, we can change this. But if not, there's a reason why the president went to New Mexico before he came to Colorado for campaigning.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
And meanwhile, I saw Elizabeth Warren and Michael Bloomberg have both opened campaign offices in Colorado.
Yeah, I know.
Here's the thing.
Thanks for being on the radio. This is awesome.
All right, Anil, thank you for the call. We appreciate it. We'll be talking to you. Thank you. Hey, and more calls, if you want to call in, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. We're going to be doing this every Wednesday. I'm starting out at least just once a week from 3 to 4 Denver time. And I'll let everybody else figure out what time zones are in there.
But you can get post. You can get the podcast hopefully soon after the show and listen to it.
And I'll put that out. Yeah, bbsradio.com/ Chuck and Julie
show.
Right. / Chuck and Julie show. The other thing here, Chuck, we don't have the little button where when I want to interrupt you, people can see me going, and you don't have the button to push. Let Chuck finish.
Yeah, we got to get that.
Yeah.
Maybe we can recover it from saying.
Well, back to it. So the phone number, if you want to call in, 888-627-6008. Let me tell you, you were talking about your Trump, and the Iran thing. And I agree with you on this almost 100%. I think that Trump did exactly what he needed to do. Soleimani was the Obama administration are the ones who designated him a terrorist. He had killed, as Trump said in his speech today, thousands of American servicemen and women. He had wreaked havoc throughout the Middle East. He was a bad guy, right? He was behind the recent death of the American contractor. He was also involved in orchestrating the attack on the embassy, and you just knew that was going to get worse. That was just, they were just waiting for something bad to happen, and they had a chance to take him out, and that's harsh, but they did, right?
Well, harsh, it's been a war between Iran and the United States since 1979 when they overthrew the Shah, except the United States wasn't in the thing, and somebody, I think, really expressed it exactly correct. He said, you know, the Obama administration financed and appeased the Iranians. They financed their terror. They financed their Hamas and Hezbollah and every other group in Yemen, and so all with our money. In fact, our money paid for the missiles that came over. And that was their strategy, you know. And they said, oh, this is great.
Well, they want to force the other countries. They're trying to foment, obviously, all kinds of chaos to force the other countries to want to kick the Americans out. And, you know, let me just address.
Well, no, it's broader than that. It's not the Americans. It really is part of the ongoing, as I said, since 632, Shiite versus Sunni dominance of the Islam world. And even if the United States was gone, it would just help. The Shiites in this particular thing. It's not going to end that endless, almost endless conflict.
And here's one, you know, you've got some of the Democrats saying, oh, well, how do we know that it was the money that Obama sent is the money that paid for the missiles? It's like, well, whatever. We gave them billions of dollars, okay? They're doing something with the billions of dollars. Hey, we've got another phone call, though. We've got Casper. Hey, Casper, let's go to for Don, who our producer there, let's go to Casper from Aurora. Hey, good afternoon. I guess I shouldn't say good afternoon.
Hey, guys, can you hear me okay?
We can.
Great to talk to you.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm glad to hear you guys are back on the airwaves. So we'll be plugging in from time to time to check you out.
How's your campaign going?
Yeah, that's good. Why don't you tell folks who you are?
Everybody. It's Casper. Come on.
We know you.
So my name is Casper Stockham. I'm running for Congress in CD6, which is in Aurora, Colorado. And the campaign is going well. You know, we're starting to ramp up after the holiday season, which was very slow. You know, everybody's just kind of hanging out with family. But now we're heading into the caucus and primary season. Caucus and assembly season. And, you know, what Anil was just saying is so critical because I have an establishment candidate running against me, you know. And
he's been getting some endorsements, Well, let me ask you about that. I kind of wonder, to me it seems, I remember when Dick Wadhams was the head of the Colorado Republican Party, and I think he did a really good job not taking sides. And I think it is, and I don't know if this has happened in your race, but it's happened, I think, in some other races where the establishment folks have come out and sort of thrown their support behind somebody. And to me, that's why we have a primary. Let's just let the voters decide that is what I think.
Well, yeah, it's a practical matter. I don't think endorsements mean a lot, but they do tell you who's money and everything else behind. And yours has always been a grassroots conservative. You're there for the rallies. You know, we had the 921 rally. I mean, you were there and all the other ones that happened.
Exactly.
I mean, you've been there.
Exactly. I've had some establishment people tell me, you know, it's all about the money. And I got news for them. My primary opponent could raise $100 million. It wouldn't matter. He's still going to lose when it comes to the general because there's really not a lot of difference between him and Jason Crow. So.
Right. Let me ask you this, Casper. Just a couple more questions for you, since we got you. You know, one of the things that Donald Trump and the Trump 2020 folks have said is they touted the economy, particularly the economy involving minority communities. And I know that's something, an outreach there. That's the kind of thing you've talked a lot about, and you do a lot of that kind of thing. What's your sense out there from the people that you're hearing from?
Yeah, so it depends on who you talk to, but I know the facts. You know, like you're saying, the black unemployment rate, the black businesses are skyrocketing. A lot of great things are happening for the black and Hispanic communities, all because of Donald Trump. Now, the challenge in Colorado is that message, if you will, is not coming in fast enough to the communities that need to hear it. So that's why I'm here. You know, I'm sharing that message with anybody and everybody I can. There's an organization that Trump launched. Vice President Pence, and Ben Carson were in Atlanta, and I happened to be in the room when they launched Black Voices for Trump. I was there in Atlanta when it happened. So he's taking it seriously, and he's doing all the right things, by the way. The Republican Party, not so much, but Trump gets it. And then I wrote a book kind of explaining all this, and it's live now. It's called Great Black and Millennial Awakening.
Okay.
And it's right now on Amazon because, you know, we need to speak to this very issue that you're talking about.
You know, the thing for anybody, whether it's whatever group you are, the candidate has to ask for your vote. If they don't ask for your vote, you know, you're not going to vote for it. And
right.
So did Mitt Romney really ask for the black vote? No, he placated and he said
and binders.
Yeah, and binders and stuff. But he basically ignored it. Did McCain actually ask for the black vote? No, and he didn't get it either. And I think this time, I think Trump will do better than any of the Republican candidates have done for a long time.
Well, if he does, then it's over for the Democrat Party because right now there have been three polls out there and all three had the black approval rate for Trump over 30%.
That's unbelievable.
So now, unbelievable. Is that going to translate into 30% votes? Not likely. But if it gets to
15%, 20%, in Michigan and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, you know, Milwaukee, it would make the difference in the election.
Let me, Casper, then before we let you go, where can people find out more about you? Where can they help you out? Where can they get more information?
Yeah, so if you're in Colorado, I really need your help to fight the establishment and J. Crow, as I like to call them affectionately. they can go to Casper for Colorado. It's the word for, F-O-R. Colorado.com. We've got a new website up, so check out our new website. We're excited about the direction of the campaign, but we still need a lot of help and support.
All right. Call us anytime. We're
anytime,
here for you.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you, Casper. Okay, we got another call. This is great. Let me give you the number again, 888-627-6008.
I want to talk about Ricky Gervais.
We're going to get to him in a second. Let's go to a Steve from Denver. Hey, Steve. Thanks for calling.
Hey, it's Steve Barlock. How are you guys?
Barlock! Wow.
How are you doing?
Glad to hear you out there. Glad to see this this finally got going because, like you said, the Republican Party is a big tent. And sometimes the views of people underneath that tent don't always agree with establishment a-holes. So we have to be strong. And I'm so happy you guys are still out there because your voice is important to Colorado and important to the things going on. So I support you 100% in coming out. And I just want to say, Chuck, you keep the paper up, you guys keep this up, and you keep attacking the Democrats here in the Denver metro area. Because I even talked to one of my opponents, Greg Lopez, who's running for governor right now. I went to his bar for a goodbye party and sat down with him and talked to him. And he said, Steve, how can I get involved in Trump and all this stuff? And I'm like, oh, well, right now you have to wait. But what you should be doing, Greg, is going after the Democrats. And one of the number one Democrats to go through is the one that thinks he's the safest. And that's Michael Hancock. We should all be on Michael Hancock's ass for what he's doing with our Denver airport tax money, what he's doing, what the state's doing with the I-70 dig tax money, and this boondoggle that's going to be going on. Just like light rail did 10, 15 years ago, the airport and this big dig are going to be in our wallets left and right. And if we're not throwing punches as a Republican Party at the Democrats every chance we get, we're not doing our job. But
well,
we don't like
say,
doing that.
In Denver, there are no Republicans.
Of course there's not, but it's the metro area, and there are Republicans. There's as many voting Republicans. There's just not as many voting Republicans as there are voting Democrats.
And therefore, whether it's a Chronicle otherwise, we support Democrats, not against Republicans, because there's no Republicans running.
But we support neighborhoods.
We support neighborhoods, and we support those people who on city council support neighborhoods, whether they're Democrat or Republican or wherever they are. Going after Hancock is not a partisan thing for me. It's just being living in Denver for 30 years, and he's destroying it. I mean, you know, whether he's a Republican, he could be destroying. You know, we've got
Bloomberg.
He used to be a Republican. That doesn't matter. He was always really a Democrat. And he was a jerk.
Oh, and I'm not, and like I said, or like you're saying, it's not just the Democrats here, it's the Republicans in disguise, because they live in the metro area. They say they're Democrats, but they're these big developers that would rather take the taxpayers' money and waste it. And and if we want to have a chance to make the media, to make us stink, you got to throw some punches at their a punching bag who doesn't think he'll ever get punched. And
well,
I like
also because the city and county of Denver pays well over $1 million a year to the Denver Post, and so they're never going to go back. They're not going to tell
you. Although,
did you
see in the paper the Denver Post? They just voted. The city council voted against renting out the top floor of the Denver Post again.
Go, yeah, go. All right.
Hey, Steve,
I'm sure the mayor's been watching. Oh, no.
And,
no.
And I just saw who Bloomberg hired is the Denver Post editorial putz. So, Bloomingdale's, as you call them.
Yeah.
there's a nickname for him, Bloomingdale's. You know, he's a putz, and they're going to milk this city for all it's worth. So when we get opportunities, you guys just keep going, and you keep attacking everything in the best newspaper in the state. So we love that, and we love having you guys back on air.
All right, Steve,
great.
Thank you.
Good
all
to
right,
talk to
nice
you.
Nice to talk to you. Have a great rest of your day. I have to keep moving.
Okay, keep MAGA on.
Okay, there we go. If you want to call in, this is the Chuck and Julie Show, 888.
Or now the Julie and Julie Show.
The Julie and Julie Show, 888-627-6008. Okay, Chuck has wanted to talk about Ricky Gervais. Is that how you say it? Yes?
So.
Okay, he's you know what? I saw him when Rev was little. He was on Sesame Street, and he would sing the ABC song. So, yeah,
Well, he's a lefty. I mean, anybody who's ever watched any of that, he's left-wing. But he came on the Golden Globes and gave a 7-minute monologue.
Right.
That was the greatest monologue I've ever. I mean, it just expressed what at least half the audience watching that show was thinking. So we hate people out there. You're pompous. And when he told them, just shut up, get your statue, and then get F out of here. I mean, it was just so perfect. And his jokes were right on. And Harvey Weinstein and
Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, I know he's your friend, but, you know, and he just eviscerated him. He eviscerated him. And he got 300,000 new Twitter followers. And that was a few days ago, so he's probably up to 500,000. But he was absolutely dead on. The ratings for it went out the window because then you wanted to see.
Higher ratings.
Yeah. You wanted to see people like Michelle Williams, who I've never knew before this, but she gets up there. And the ode to killing small
like
babies.
Abortion, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the ode to killing babies. Isn't this wonderful? We get to kill babies. And I owe my career to killing babies. And you go, that's great. That's wonderful. And so, you know, it's interesting. If you read the media ones in the Los Angeles Times, you're going,
the mainstream media things.
Well, they're now called, I think, corporate media because they're no longer mainstream.
Yeah. Oh.
I think calling them corporate media is probably a little more accurate. The corporate media, they were just saying it was a terrible broadcast. And Ricky stank and you know, his stupid, lame jokes. And luckily, we had some people with positive, affirming, hopeful messages. And in particular, of course, Michelle Williams. Yeah, and all that.
And so you
see this Lonnie versus Laura kind of thing going again. Because if you're on the left, that was a terrible show. I mean, actually, somebody speaking truth to power is just awful. And Ricky said after, he said, I didn't know going after multinational corporations and incredibly wealthy people was considered right-wing.
Right, yeah. They were saying, because he was attacking Apple and for sweatshops in China and things like that. He's
great.
Like, that's right-wing somehow?
That's right-wing.
You would think, well, that's come, I think that the nonsense of these times, right? They're trying to silence people for saying things that fall out of, like I said, they're increasingly rigid guidelines. You know, I was this one to me is particularly outrageous. So Greta Thunberg, maybe you guys heard about this. She was taking a train someplace, and she tweeted out a photo of herself sitting on the floor with all of this luggage around, and made some kind of snarky comment about the accommodations. So the German train company said, hey, thanks for the shout out, but by the way, you were traveling in first class, right? and that was just like, you just staged that whole thing. Well, that German train company is now being investigated and prosecuted for that. And that's the thing. We've had Katie Hill on our show from London, and she talks about the kind, when you, there, I mean, we still have the freedom here. Here, at least, they just simply try to destroy you. They don't actually try to throw you in jail yet. But that's a kind of thing that is going on that I think we have to, all of us, I don't care what you think or don't think, we have to be able to still say we can think and what we want, and we can say what we think, and we can disagree and we can argue, but then we can remember, like I keep saying, that we all have this common connection, like Barney said, right? We've all gone through stuff, good things, bad things, and we can't let them divide us and then conquer us.
Going back to Ricky.
Okay, back to Ricky.
Back to Ricky, he said about it, he said, you know, most of you out there in the audience have gone to school less than Greta Thunberg. They all, moan.
Oh, that's true.
And groan.
That's because they've been trying to get themselves into college in a cheating way, right?
And if that's that's right.
They tried to get more, but it hasn't worked out that way.
Exactly, which is, I thought, a great way of saying, you know, actors are not, generally speaking, great people for
But that's the kind of thing that gives me hope, right? The kind of, that he got out there and he said that. And I think, you know, back to Steve Barlock who called, I remember he ran the Trump campaign in Denver.
Yeah, that was tough.
And they had people throw bricks through their campaign windows. They were always having to call the police. It was dangerous for them to go in and out. And I think it's a different day now. I think that, which is why, I think that's why that they're hammering more. Right, these people who have this global agenda, they want to silence anybody who colors outside their lines, right? They're doing that now because people are saying, hey, wait a minute. And I've said this from the beginning. I think Bernie Sanders is the flip side of Donald Trump, right? It's the same kind of thing. And you look what the Clinton campaign and the Democrat National Committee did to Bernie Sanders the last time around.
Right.
You got to wonder, you know, what they're gonna, what's going to happen this time around.
Well, you know what's going to happen. I mean, here's my prediction.
Okay.
It will go to a second round, and the second round will either choose...
At the convention, the Democratic convention.
The first time in 50 years, over 50 years. I think Stevenson in 52 is the last time it went beyond the first vote. And then all the establishment Democrats will either vote for Biden if he hasn't imploded, or Bloomberg. I mean, that will be the one, and then you will get the corporate candidate. And just like Bernie Sanders was required to kind of go, oh, yeah, let's unite behind around Hillary, he'll get screwed over a second time, which he'll take, you know, for a book deal. You know, do I get another book deal? I can buy another house.
Well, did you see the Democrats today were jumping up and down and hollering because Michael Bloomberg is saying, hey, I don't care if I'm in your dumb debate next week. There's another debate in Iowa before the Iowa caucuses.
Right, right.
And he said, I don't care if I'm not in that. And they're like, he's spending all of his own money to get elected. Like somehow it's like, that so he's not being bought and paid for. I mean, I don't like Bloomberg. I wouldn't vote for him. But somehow or another, it's like Elizabeth Warren, you know, slamming Pete Buttigieg for the wine cave.
The wine cave donor party
that he had. And she had one, too. That's the hypocrisy.
Well, for Senate, she had one.
Well, but all I'm saying is, you know, so somehow or another, we can't vote for Michael Bloomberg because he's funding himself.
I don't know. I guess I resent Michael Bloomberg.
Just in general.
I'm not going to go to any of these stupid caucus states. You have to meet people. And talk to them.
I'm just going to try to buy the election.
Yeah, I'll do a $10 million Super Bowl ad. That'll do it. Because that's just chump change. You know? And so I think resenting Michael Bloomberg saying, all I'm going to do is $100 million of TV ads, and you schmucks are going to vote for me just because you see these stupid ads, which really don't feature him at all. They're just, oh, he bought this, and he bought that, and he bought this.
Let me see. Let's go to the phones again. We've got our friend and colleague, Karen Cataline, calling from here. Karen, hey, thank you for calling.
Well, I hope you can hear me. It's coming through my phone, my car box. I just want you to know how wonderful it is to hear you both on the radio again. And it does my heart good. You're like a comfortable pair of shoes. That's what you're
Prada
like.
Shoes. Prada shoes.
I just want to wish you, number one, I'm so delighted that you've joined BBS Radio. I'd like to overwhelm BBS Radio with lots of conservatives on talk radio, Colorado, and elsewhere. And I'm just delighted that you're there.
BBS Radio is nice enough to say they've got more attention to this show than any other show they've ever done. So that was nice.
Well, and Karen, I want to give you, first of all, we owe this to you, right? You were the one, you've got your own show spouting off on BBS Radio. That's every Tuesday morning at 11.
Thank you. Yes.
And you can find out all the information. Let me, hey, Karen, while we got you, you were down at the Colorado State Capitol. We missed each other. We must have been in passing there. What did you, I thought they had a pretty good-sized crowd.
They had a great crowd, and I'm glad you mentioned it. I did get down there, and I'll tell you what stuck out for me. The rally was great. The turnout was great. But as you know, I live in northern Colorado, and I came down there to see the tent cities in Civic Center Park. I took pictures of it. And as a native of Denver, it breaks my heart that we are going the way of San Francisco and Seattle. We've got to turn this around. And this is what George Soros wants. He wants us. He wants to destroy every city in America, and we just can't let him do it.
You know, Karen, I am so glad you talked about that, because I took pictures of that, too, and tweeted that out. So folks don't know, Denver had, even though they didn't enforce it particularly rigorously, an urban camping ban, which meant that if you were a homeless person, you couldn't sleep in basically in public streets, right?
And then they had a vote for it. They brought a ballot to it. And Denver overwhelmingly supported the urban camping ban. And so, you know, Michael...
Well, the judge overturned it, right? The judge ruled it just right around Christmas unconstitutional.
Of course. Unconstitutional. You mean it's a constitutional right to defecate on the street and camp out on public
Here's what you see now when you go to the Colorado State Capitol, and it's only going to get worse. So, Chuck, you haven't seen this yet. It's at 14th and Lincoln there. Well, actually, it's in that Falls Civic Center Park. And for folks who are familiar with downtown Denver, it's the park between the state capitol and the city and county building, right? All along there now, there are more than a dozen, and it's growing every day, tents and homeless people camping out, doing drugs, like you said. I mean, so this is where when the kids come to school, the school buses come to tour the state capitol. This is where they get off. There are people who've got to wait for bus stops there. If you're kind of walking anywhere in that key downtown area to go to the museum, to go to the art museum, to go to the library, to go to the courts, to go to the capitol, you've got to make your way through that. And Karen, I saw that, and I get that the city's between a rock and a hard place.
It is not between a rock and a hard place.
Okay, let me check that.
Because if you really, because Michael Hancock really did say, oh, I'm all for the camping ban. And the minute he got elected, we got the word from friends in the sheriff's department that he wasn't enforcing it at all. Forget the judge's one. And so there are a thousand different ways we really want to do something. If you don't want to do anything, then you, oh, what can we do? You know, it's the city is now a dump. And that's great because less cars, because less people want to live there, less people want to go down there, less people want to buy things. And he's just going, I don't care. You don't think I'm not going to get every consulting contract or whatever they want to call it when I get out from all the developers I've made multi-billionaires? I mean, no, he's happy to have the city go down the drain.
But Karen, that was for people who didn't see it. I mean, people have seen the shows about San Francisco or Vancouver things. That's what it looked like, right?
Yeah, it is. And I'll tell you, if anybody thinks in their right mind that this is all coincidental, that we're getting all the same ills and all the same ugliness, all the same lawlessness and elevation of drug crimes and drug use, it's all the same thing, and it is being done by huge amounts of money by George Soros, who has nothing but hatred and disdain for America. I try to get Ted Trimpe on. The next time I get Ted Trimpe on, I'm going to ask him, I hate to say this because I like him, but I'm going to ask him if he likes being a useful idiot for the destruction of America.
I'm not sure you're going to get on right away. But,
you know,
he'll never come on again.
That's right.
I think, and if he's listening, I'm going to get a text saying, no, I'm not. But I think Ted has some secret Republican tendencies, to tell you the
truth.
Don't
do that to him.
I think he is.
But you know what? I'm going to get to Here's what I want to say, though, Karen, and you've had this conversation, too. I go back to what we talked about at the beginning of the show. What I like about Ted is we can disagree with Ted, right? And we can vehemently disagree and passionately disagree. But in the end, we'll go to his house for dinner. You know what I mean? We can remember, again, that there is more that connects us than divides us, and that it is important to
And we need, you know, as talk show hosts, we need people that we want to disagree with. I look for people to debate with and disagree. I think Ted is an exceptionally bright man. I have no ill will for him. And that's why we do talk radio, is to try to challenge each other to find the truth. And, you know, and I don't know, I would like to refer Ted Trimpa to Dan Greenfield's article about George Soros, who now it's not even Soros, it's his sons, and the self-hating Jewish thing. I recommend everybody. I'm going to let you wrap up your own show.
So people don't know that.
Everybody read that Jewish article herself, by Daniel
Greenfield. That comment was not...
Yeah.
You're Jewish yourself, so that comment comes not from somebody who isn't... proudly a Jewish person.
It breaks my heart that an ethnic Jew who admits that he is he grew up in an anti-Semitic Jewish home. His mother was a self-hating Jew, and George Soros hates America because America and Israel stand in the way of his megalomaniacal, godlike complex dream of global socialism. And the first people that are going to get it are the people who've been getting their palms greased for their pet projects like LGBTQ, who will be, God forbid, hanging from cranes. And it's time for people to wise up about what this Soros and his sons are all about. Thank you guys for letting me speak. May you have a long and illustrious career on internet. You guys deserve to be on the radio, and I'm just so glad to be part of the family of the Chuck and Julie fan club.
That's so nice of you.
And likewise spouting off. So Karen Cattling, spouting off. KarenCattling.com. Karen, thank you very much. All right, we've got this. All right, thanks. So just so folks, every time you see our eyes go over here, this is where our producer communicates with us. We've got 3 minutes left. One thing I wanted to say, and we'll talk about this more. So one of the last things we were talking about at CanUS, that's one. You know, I saw a guy, Scott Adams, who's a podcaster. He was saying something cute. He said, you know, impeachment is so 2019. You know, it's just like 2019. Who even cares about impeachment anymore? So Chuck and I had a bet, and the bet, we bet two Diet Cokes with Bacardi.
It increased.
That they were never going to impeach him. And Chuck said, no, they're going to.
No, I said they're going to have impeachment. We can try to get.
Oh, you're reasoning now. You didn't say it was impeachment, but you said they would vote to impeach. So the question is, though, did Chuck actually really win the bet? Because I'm saying not quite yet. Because they have, I mean, it's still, today even Dianne Feinstein was saying to Nancy Pelosi, hey, either send him over or don't send him over, right? That's a mess, too. So I don't know. I mean, I understand that there are a lot of other implications there, too. But from my personal point of view I'm not paying off. I'm not getting any.
We're going to have to get the transcript from 710 and see exactly
what the bet was. But I think, though, that's a bizarre situation. I don't think anybody anticipated that they would vote to impeach him and yet then never move to the next step, right?
Well, it all came from a Lawrence Tribe who was this reasonable left-wing professor at Harvard who's now gone just way off the rails. You know, I'm not going to be in the Supreme Court. Yeah, heck with the being reasonable. He recommended it 2 days after the vote, and then all of a sudden Nancy picked it up. They all picked it up.
Hey,
I mean, it's talk about being influential.
We are out of time now.
We're not going to be out of time. We've got another 2 hours. No, we don't.
We would love to have everyone join us when you can. Wednesdays from 3 to 4 Denver time.
And podcasts, we'll try to get them up as soon as we possibly can.
But everyone have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks so much for all of you.